All right, we're going to talk about the early, early years of cable television in this radio segment. Because a couple of days ago, I happened across a Canadian Football League game on now DirecTV, which gives me 900 channels to choose from every time I sit down.
Too many.
I watched CFL football for a while, and it took me back to 1979, 1980, 1981, when ESPN hit the air. And this is back when cable television was starting to penetrate the United States.
Oh, yes.
Why did I know that no one could handle that word?
I did fine.
That's why you said that word.
Tell us, what are cable TV penetration rates right now?
So back then, nobody had cable. Just the rich guys in the neighborhood, right?
Whose voice is that?
And when you would go over to one of the rich kids' homes, and you would turn on the TV, and you would see ESPN, wasn't that so magical and so confusing and so wonderful? And
yes,
it was incredible.
Like,
yeah, when you sat down and you watched ESPN, wait a minute, hold on. I can't get my mind around this.
We've got
sports going on all the time.
Sports. Now, I come from a world, this is me back in 1980, where I only got sports on Saturday and Sunday. But, rich kid, you're telling me that you get sports 24 hours a day whenever you want it? All you do is put it to channel 23 and there it is?
But sports should be in quotes in the early days of ESPN.
But it was something we'd never seen before.
Well, it's because, you know, ESPN, I guess, doesn't stand for anything now. It's just ESPN. But what did the acronym mean at the time?
Entertainment and Sports Programming Network.
Right. And they were sometimes more heavy on the entertainment than the sports.
Now, back then, there was a lot of Canadian football because they couldn't get the NFL, so they had the CFL. Do you remember how much Australian rules football they used to play?
Dude, I was so into Australian rules football as a kid. It's so much better than rugby.
Mm-hmm.
What's the difference?
Big difference.
There was tons of NFL films, and we did the segment earlier in the show about the passing of the great Steve Sable, but that's where you first learned about Steve Sable, pretty much, was early years ESPN. And then do you remember the early years of SportsCenter, which, again, was great? You mean this is a newscast, but there's no news, it's only sports? And you remember some of the early SportsCenter anchors? Of course, you had Chris Berman there in 79 when the network went on the air, and Bob Lee.
The great Bob Lee.
And they're still there today.
Tom Meese, was he one of the originals?
Tom Meese.
Yep, the late, great Tom Meese.
What's he doing now?
You know.
Nothing.
He's no longer with us.
Sal Marciano, who was kind of the older, thin guy.
Ooh.
He was a longtime New York guy. Greg Gumbel was a part of that original crew. And that's right, back when Greg Gumbel was really big and had a really big Afro rug. George Grand. And the first female anchor they had was Sharon Smith, and I remember her because she cried one time when a horse was put to sleep.
Barbaro?
I don't know. I don't think it was Barbaro. It was long before that, but she couldn't handle that, and she broke down, and her co-anchor had to take it.
Jeez. Gail Gilbert, was she? I guess she came along a little bit later.
Just a little bit later, yeah.
But see, the thing was with cable, it was hard for us to understand. Try explaining that to a World War II veteran who happened to be your dad, and why we needed to pay back then, what was it, $9.95 a month?
Probably.
Something like that. He thought that was the biggest waste of money because, number one, we already watched too much television as it was.
Right.
And we don't, why would you need that? And I told him all the things that you just talked about, because there's sports. Hey, there's movies. You like movies. You can see some old Westerns on there. Never could sell him on the idea.
They finally convinced my father when they produced Home Sports Entertainment, which is now FSN. It was HSE back then. And they had like 100 Ranger games on there and about 50 Maverick games. And that was it. We got cable because of that. And in those days, HSE cost the same as HBO. It was like $11 a month to have it as a premium channel. But that was the only reason we got cable, was to watch Ranger and Maverick games. I was in heaven.
Boy, that was a big step forward when you could basically watch your local team in just about any game.
Yeah.
Between that and over the air.
Right.
Hey, I didn't live in a place that had cable until Junior and I had an apartment together.
Wow.
And, man, we used to waste so much time watching ridiculous programming on cable. And part of it was just this whole new world.
And what cable meant back in the early 80s was that you got maybe 30 extra channels, 25 extra channels, not 900 extra channels.
Right.
So you had basic ESPN. There was no ESPN2 or ESPNU or ESPN Classic. You had basic ESPN. You had basic HBO. Now there are 12 different HBO networks. You had basic HBO. And I also remember that being maybe even more magical than ESPN because it was there were movies, actual movie. And you didn't have to go to the store and rent the big VHS tape or anything. It was actual movies. This is from 1983. This is how HBO used to open each movie with their own almost minute and a half long open. It showed a family getting ready in a living room in an apartment, settling in to watch a movie on TV.
And then the camera pans over the cityscape. And
such a dramatic build-up, but it got you excited for the movie. You thought, wow, this is a big event.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I remember this
now. I haven't heard that song in forever.
I think HBO still uses this
song. Do they still use it?
Yeah.
You know, the best thing about having HBO then was it brought boobs to TV. I can remember the week that we got cable, my parents went out to dinner on Saturday night, and I watched my first ever R-rated movie, and it was Porky's.
Really?
Yes.
You shouldn't have been watching that, Rich.
Probably not. Quality. And my next one was Valley Girl, because it had boobs.
Mm-hmm. Don't think your kids aren't trying to go through the codes right now to figure out.
And in the old days, you'd have the scrambled channels, the ones you didn't subscribe to.
View and on TV.
And you always fought through the scrambling to try to just make turn out what sideways. The boobs may look like. And
boy, you're not kidding.
Because they had the late night view at 10 o'clock, and it was softcore porn.
And you would sit through an hour of that just for the occasional three-second glimpse when it would kind of stop being scrambled for just a moment.
I would do that on a black and white TV back then.
Me too.
God, we is that?
Men are idiots.
Pathetic.
And I'm so sure kids today are like, black and white? Why would you have a TV that wasn't in color?
HD.
Can you still buy a black and white TV?
That's a good question.
There's no way. There's no way that a store carries a black and white TV. Not unless it's a security cam monitor or something.
Right. You remember the early years of CNN? They had CNN, and then they had CNN Headline News.
Right.
And I thought Headline News was the greatest thing ever.
Gosh, my whole college days was spent watching that about 20 hours a day. I would skip class and just watch CNN Headline News.
All right, that didn't drive you crazy. Well, yes, it did. Clearly, it drove you crazy.
Yeah. What do you think?
That's it?
I have so many problems.
That was it.
Okay, their original anchors. You had David Goodenow.
Yep.
Chuck Roberts.
Mm-hmm. He's still there, isn't he?
Is he still there?
I don't know. Gordon Graham.
Gordon Graham.
He was the guy who his eyes were always watering, it looked like. He had sad puppy dog eyes. Hey, man, Headline News. I'm Gordon Graham.
Did they have a female?
Yeah, it seemed like they did. Was it Martha Quinn or Nina Blackwood?
No, we're getting the MTV.
Downtown Julie Brown?
No. And then you had the CNN Headline Sports. That's where Van Oral Wright rose to prominence. CNN Headline Sports. And that was 2-minute blurb, but that was great. You were going to get a little sports update. And the original CNN, I remember they were very, very Atlanta intensive because remember they broadcast from that Turner Mansion in Atlanta? And they were all every time they'd come back from break, they would show the exterior shot of the Turner Mansion. Now they've kind of done away with the Atlanta thing. They're based in New York and Washington and Atlanta, but all over the world.
Remember back then, TBS used to start all their shows at 5 after and 35 after?
That's right.
Yeah, what's with that?
Because it was an over-the-air channel in Atlanta, and they did that. That was Ted Turner's gimmick because, you've watched the show all the way to 5 after. Well, now you're going to stick it with our next show because some other channel they've already started. You missed the first 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Good. His TSL.
Yeah, that's exactly.
Our next quarter hour.
That's exactly what he was doing. He was dumping him into the next quarter hour.
It's kind of a brilliant move, actually.
And obviously didn't work that great because they don't do it anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the other part of basic cable. You would get just basic ESPN, basic CNN and Headline News, basic HBO. And then you got the two superstations, WGN out of Chicago and WTBS out of Atlanta.
Yeah, and I remember someone used to live in Chicago. WGN was going nationwide. Why would y'all want to watch that? They just show Cubs games. Well, and Bozo Circus and Ray Rayner. Right. I mean, for a kid, it was great, but
that made
the Cubs a novelty.
That's how I got into them, because we had cable in 1984 for the first summer, and they're on every afternoon, man.
Yeah.
And they won the division that year.
That's how, Harry Carey became a nationwide sensation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, T-Tech Homer on Twitter makes a good point. He said that 80% of the programming on ESPN in the early days was the strongman competition.
That's right.
That was on all the time.
And a lot of that.
And I loved that stuff.
Yep. Yeah, I still like watching WGN for the 9 o'clock news, because it makes you feel like you're peeking in on another city, and what's like you're eavesdropping on what's going on in Chicago. Yeah. Get to see their local news. And how long did we go before ESPN started like playing games at their entirety again from like, two nights before? That was mid-80s, wasn't it? That seemed crazy too. That all of a sudden, if you missed a college game on Saturday, you could see it played on Tuesday morning.
Yeah.
I don't think we did miss some class for that.
Boy, I hadn't thought about that, but that's a good memory. I used to spend my entire week watching whatever college football game was replayed.
Yeah.
And they, at odd hours, but by the end of the week, I would have watched that same game three times. Because I was getting football on a Wednesday afternoon.
Bonus.
So that was awesome.
Total bonus.
And then there was MTV, and that cranked up, 81? Something like that?
I think so, 81.
And we spent a lot of time on ESPN, a lot of time on HBO and CNN, but man, did we waste a lot of time on MTV in those early years when it really was music television. It really was all videos.
Yeah, music videos. Now it's amazing that, I guess, I don't know how many videos actually play on MTV anymore.
I think most of them end up on MTV2, and even that's not just videos anymore.
Somehow they phased out music videos.
Man.
And that whole mess. But yeah, that's what we used to watch all the time. You just and you were a slave to it, because you didn't have time shifted recording or anything like this. You used to watch what was going on at that time on the channel.
Yeah.
And you just stay glued to it all day.
Prior to that, all we had was Friday Night Videos, I think, was the show on Channel 5 at about midnight. And that was about all we had.
Do bands today still make videos for every single?
Yeah. It's a lot of online viewing of them nowadays. You can find a video for any band on YouTube or on their website.
All right, and the original VJs?
Martha Quinn.
My Twitter friend, Martha Quinn. Nina Blackwood. J.J. Jackson. Alan Hunter. And Mark Goodman.
Now, where was Bill Todman in there?
Just different. And they, a lot of those guys and gals are still working on the satellite radio 80s station, I think it is.
Yeah. I think all the surviving ones got together and they have a channel on satellite radio.
Well, that was the other thing, because my dad wouldn't get cable. That's why I had to go to my friend's house and
Kirby Waltersdorf.
So when did you get cable?
Usually Kevin Enix or Matt Swanson. Like I said, the first time.
Wait, hold it.
Like I said, the first
those
time
are
that
made
I
made up names.
My parents never did. Never did.
Man.
We got it finally in about 82. Was it maybe a junior in high school? And I remember coming home, and the first thing I saw was a Cubs game. And we just got a color TV not too long before that. So
good Lord.
To see baseball in living color in the middle of the afternoon on a Tuesday or whatever. I thought that was, couldn't believe my good fortune.
You had the little box with the slider to change channels.
Yeah, and so if you wanted to go from 50 to 2, you could do it in 1 second. Uh-huh. You just drag it down, and then your dad would yell at you. Our
first one had a box up at the TV, and it had a cable to the remote. The remote was wired to it, and the only way you knew the channel was the readout on the giant remote that was bigger than your hand that you had to hold.
So did those early days of cable have it right that they didn't overload us with choices? They gave us a lot, but not like now.
Hey, I got to tell you, there's too many choices now. If I fix myself lunch, I go home after the show and I fix myself lunch and I sit down and, a lot of people turn on the TV when they eat. I can't do that because I turn on the TV and then it's 10 minutes until I can even get to my lunch as I'm fishing for what programming is going to be right for my meal. And it's too much pressure. too much pressure and just too many decisions, off. So I just keep it off.
And there's so many channels that are so similar that you find a show you like, and then you think 2 days later, all right, now what channel was that show on? You know, was it especially like the I watch a lot of those cooking shows. Man, was it on Food Network? Was it on HGTV? You have no idea what channel it is.
There was a great beauty about the simplicity of early cable, and because you didn't see anything, it helped build the back to the NFL films thing, the mythology of the sport, because you only heard about this legendary exploit from the night before, or you read about it, but you didn't get to see it like we see everything now.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a beauty about that, but I have learned to embrace current technology and current television. I love having access to anything now. Is there anything better than the NFL Sunday Ticket?
No.
So awesome.
What did we do before a channel like the Red Zone channel?
I know. It's so great to be able to sit on the couch at noon on Sunday and go anywhere you want around the NFL and stay there as long as you want. So I love having all the choices now. Yeah, you do get paralyzed from time to time because you don't know what to watch. But,
oh, that's awesome.
But I love it.
Is the History Channel still the Hitler Channel, or are they expanded out?
No. I don't know.
The one thing that's overlooked by it, too, is think of how much better 4, 5, 8, 11, 21, 27, 33 became because of cable. Because remember having to fight through the ghosting images, and you have bad vertical hold on a channel and whatnot. And
but the cable brought you
perfect reception on everything now.
Yep. All right, the early days of cable television, a trip down memory lane. It's 8:32 on the ticket. Coming up next, the second ever installment of the Mickey and Michael Show.
Stay hard, Tommies.